The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Beautiful, sunny Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're hanging out with us. We have an awful lot to get to today. Can't waste any of your time. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
So, what is really going on with the school shutdown, the holiday shutdown, all the lies that we've been told, Jay Inslee flip-flopping on getting tested, Anthony Fauci flip-flopping on whether schools should be open? What's really going on? Because it's becoming increasingly obvious that our political officials are carrying out the demands of radicals who have taken over their party. Let me refer back a couple of weeks ago when there was yet another protest in Seattle and a self-proclaimed community activist named Nikita Oliver. She vowed that the protester, rioter, domestic terrorists, by the way, another big riot on Capitol Hill last night, buildings and homes smashed and vandalized. But Nikita Oliver vowed a couple of weeks ago that there would be no Thanksgiving and no Christmas in Seattle this year.
We were in a third time shock. I mean, I know we're in an economic recession, but we live in one of the wealthiest cities in the entire United States. People will start trying to shop. There is no holiday season until Black Lives Matter.
There will be no holidays in Seattle, meaning anything that has traditionally been a family-oriented, wholesome, downtown celebration of thanks, of praise, of faith, of family, that will not be allowed to happen this year. Now, we've heard politicians towing that line, telling us that we could not get together with our families from other homes, you know, adult kids, grandkids, grandparents, can't get together this year because our politicians, not for public health reasons, but because they are captive to the radicals who have taken over their party. Now, I've told you from the very start that the reason I have not for one second supported the organization Black Lives Matter is because its founders are Marxist trained, and one of the statements in their goals was to destroy the traditional Western nuclear family. Now, they removed that a couple of months ago, but it has not been removed from their ultimate demands. And that's why I always say the words Black Lives Matter, which of course is a truism, should always be kept separate from the political force, the organization that is Marxist-based and intends to destroy families. And so when Nikita Oliver says there will be no holidays in Seattle this year, and then our governor follows up with, you can't get together with your families. We'll celebrate virtually, he would say, which is a phone call, in other words. I mean, that's all it is. That's when Jay Inslee essentially said what Nikita Oliver was saying on the Straits.
Indoor social gatherings with people from outside your home are prohibited. unless they quarantine for 14 days prior to the social gathering, or quarantine for the 7 days prior to the gathering, and receive a negative COVID-19 test result no more than 48 hours prior to the gathering.
Okay, but here's the problem for Jay Inslee. He is being dragged by these political forces, and he can't even keep his own lies straight anymore. So you heard in that soundbite, he said, well, you can get together with your adult kids, grandparents, grandchildren, if you get a COVID test within 48 hours and it's negative. But then right before Thanksgiving, he said, no. Doesn't matter what I said a few days ago. Don't get a test at all.
We really do discourage people from getting testing just to enable them to have Thanksgiving dinner. It's just better to enjoy Thanksgiving in our own households, leave the testing capacity for those who really may be ill. We hope people can help out in that regard.
Don't get tested. Just a few days earlier, Jay Inslee said, if you get tested within 48 hours, you can be with your family. But that's when the let's tear down holidays, let's tear down the family crowd that is the political force that controls this area. They said, don't tell them they can take a test and then get together. We don't want families together. He was spinning. He had no clue what his own policy was.
On Sunday, you urged people, if they're going to attend a Thanksgiving dinner, to quarantine and get a COVID test if possible. But in Seattle, they're reporting strained lines at the testing sites because of all the people trying to get tests. Are you still sticking with your message? Do you have concerns that that's going to max out testing for people that may have symptoms?
Yes, we do have those concerns, and that's why I'm encouraging people, look, don't get a test because you want to go to Thanksgiving dinner. Just put off that dinner until next year and do it virtually.
Yeah, Nikita Oliver was right. There will be no holidays in our state this year because the goal of everything they're doing is not public health. It's about tearing down the family. And I'll tell you how you can know that for certain. When the governor of California says, don't eat inside at restaurants, but then he goes to a 50th birthday party for his lobbyist buddy inside at a restaurant. The mayor of Denver said, do not travel for Thanksgiving. And then he flew to Mississippi because his daughter just got a job there. I told you about that yesterday.
It's a mistake that I deeply regret and deeply apologize for.
It's a mistake. He mistakenly told people to not travel, and then he mistakenly bought an airline ticket, and he mistakenly drove to the airport, and he accidentally got on a plane. That's quite a mistake. A Los Angeles County commissioner yesterday voted to ban outdoor dining. Right after she cast that vote, you know what she did? She went to her favorite Italian restaurant and dined outside. I'm telling you, all of these politicians who have access to these daily health briefings, they know that everything they're telling us is wrong because they are not living their lives consistent with the way they're telling us to live our lives. But this goes back even further than that. You know, it goes back to Jay Inslee was so controlled by Antifa and Black Lives Matter that 3 days after Chaz Chop sprouted up on Capitol Hill, Jay Inslee just flat out lied and said, oh, I don't even know about that, because he was afraid to say anything negative about a takeover of his the largest city in his state.
I'd like to ask you about what's going on in Seattle. There's this thing called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What's your thought on that, the fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely? And regarding the
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it.
What a lie. He admitted at the debate that he was lying when he said that, because he was more concerned about taking care of the radicals that now drive the party and drive our region, drive our state, and increasingly are driving our country. He wouldn't say anything negative about them. And so he just lied and said, I haven't heard about it. He'd had 3 days of daily security briefings about this growing menace. At the national level, we have kids who need to be back in school. Dr. Anthony Fauci on ABC Sunday said that kids do not spread coronavirus to each other, and they don't spread it to teachers, and that schools should be open.
Not being facetiously as a soundbite or anything, but, you know, close the bars and keep the schools open is what we really say. Obviously, you don't have one size fits all, but as I said in the past, and as you accurately quoted me, the default position should be to try as best as possible within reason to keep the children in school or to get them back to school. The best way.
Okay, he is a liar. Rand Paul, back in June, confronted Dr. Anthony Fauci at a Senate hearing and told him to his face that we need to get kids back in school, when Fauci said, no, we got to keep the schools closed.
All of this body of evidence about schools around the world shows there's no surge. All of the evidence shows that it's rare. But I hear nothing of that coming from you. All I hear, Dr. Fauci, is we can't do this, we can't do that.
Now, Fauci said, no, we can't have the schools open. No, how does this tie in to tearing down the family? The more fearful we make our kids, the easier they are to control. And so when you woke up this morning and you see this alert on your phone that you can activate a tracing app so government will know who you've been in contact with and if you've ever tested positive, who in the world would want to give the government voluntarily that information when Fauci says masks are no good? No, you got to wear a mask. When they say schools got to stay closed, no, we got to open the schools. Jay Inslee says get tested if you want to see your family. No, don't get tested. Is somebody going to give them voluntarily your health information? They can't keep anything straight from day to day. They could if the motivation was public health. But the motivation is control. The motivation is the stated goals of BLM, and that's let's destroy the traditional Western nuclear family. And it's working. Teen suicide, record highs. Teen drug overdose deaths, record highs. Kids are suffering from unprecedented levels of anxiety and mental illness as they're told to sit in front of a computer screen or their phone for 6 hours a day. As we told you yesterday, they say that you can't even find a psychiatrist or psychologist for a kid in the Puget Sound area without a couple of months' notice, because so many kids are seeing shrinks right now. It's all working. It's all working. They're making people fearful. They're making people believe that closing schools is necessary. And then the same person says, oh, we should get the schools open. We're driving our kids insane. We're making our entire populace fearful. Jay Inslee, get a test. Jay Inslee, don't get a test. What are you doing? Denver mayor, don't travel. Denver mayor, oh, I traveled. L.A. commish, don't dine outside. L.A. commish, oh, I had an outside meal right after I cast that vote. None of this is about public health. None of it. I'm curious. I'd like to hear from you. Did you get that notice on your phone this morning asking you to voluntarily participate in contact tracing? And are you going to? Are you going to give your government? Oh, man, I haven't even gotten started yet on what's happening to crime. Record murders, record robberies in Seattle. I'll give you those stats. We have new numbers in this afternoon. And, of course, the solution, let's take away cops. Let's increase the crimes. We'll shatter these records next year. It's all working according to plan. It's just that you better know what the plan is, because they told us at the very beginning, let's tear down the families. That's been the plan from the start, and that's been the motivation for all decisions that are being made in the months since. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
It's a disease that attacks the respiratory system. Oh, we should all work out and get some good cardio work and go to the gym. No, got to close the gyms. But there's no record of gyms spreading the disease. Doesn't matter. We got to destroy that industry. I'll talk to a guy who owns a gym about that. Coming up next is the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, as we told you at the beginning of the show, over the weekend, Dr. Anthony Fauci once again reaffirmed what we've been saying for months and months. Kids are not spreaders of coronavirus to each other or to adults. And so keeping our schools closed is not just ridiculous, but it's dangerous. It's damaging. We have more kids than ever committing suicide and overdosing on drugs. We have kids who are failing in school in record numbers. And it's not just schools where they are capriciously shutting things down. Right now, it's never been more important to have cardiovascular fitness, because that's actually what this disease attacks. But our data daddy, Jay Inslee, has shut down gyms as well. And there's a consortium of gym owners that is saying, why? What is the reason? Blair McHenry is with this group called MXM that works with health clubs around the world, based in Wenatchee. Blair, good to talk to you. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thanks, Dory. I'm glad to be on.
I noticed I was watching some of your Facebook videos, and I'm guessing it's not a coincidence that the background on your wall was a framed Declaration of Independence.
Well, you know, it's not. I actually always have that on my wall, though. Yeah, that's been part of my office artwork forever, and I decided to use it for, yeah, the background of one of those videos. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me why. I mean, tell me what you think is, or not what you think, tell me what is happening to your industry right now.
Well, if you remember going into this shutdown back in March, it was all about touch surfaces, right? I mean, and even as a club owner myself, so I own two clubs in Central Washington, going on 40 years in business, I announced we were shutting our own clubs down 2 days before the governor required it. But that's because all the scare was around touch surfaces. And going into this, what other business has more touch surfaces where people aren't necessarily, you know, going washing their hands in between touches? And it was gyms.
Sure.
But that started to change. And as that changed, and as data came out, and as new evidence came out about how this transmits, the gym sort of got left back there and just kind of included in the narrative of what you shut down. So what we did, my company MXM stands for Member Experience Metrics, we started to go out and collect data on check-ins and data on actual outbreaks in states. And what we found was that outbreaks aren't happening in fitness centers. Now, what that should do, Dory, what that should do is have people think, why are they not happening in fitness centers? And then go examine that and learn something from it. But what we keep hearing is, you know, they're high risk. That's the hypothesis that people had going into this, that gyms were high risk, but the data doesn't support it. Now, there's good reasons the data doesn't support it, but the data doesn't support it, and people need to be exercising. We're taking away exercise for, you know, hundreds of thousands of adults in just in our state alone. And it's disproportionately affecting the underprivileged.
Well, I was just going to say that because, I mean, here's my situation, Blair. My family, we had a family membership at a gym a few blocks from our house. A couple of my girls still, even though they don't live here anymore, they still would come out, and it's a place with multiple outlets. It's been shut down so much. So I happen to be of means, so I got a Peloton bike and I canceled my gym membership, but I also recognize that's not available to everybody, and having a $10 a month gym membership is about the most affordable way for somebody to try to stay in shape at a time when it's never been more critical. And you're right about that, that this so disproportionately affects the people who can't afford to go out and outfit and, you know, buy equipment for a home gym. And they always talk about how much they care about the working class and the lower class. And every action they take seems to target them.
Yeah, and it's not just that it's disproportionately affecting them right now because they don't have either the space or the means to create home gym, but also just mental illness tends to disproportionately affect them already in the first place. And so now when we know, and the CDC's new guidelines on exercise just came out, and they asked people to increase the amount of cardiovascular exercise, and that all adults should have 2 weight training sessions a week. And they're saying this right now that, I mean, we know that exercise immediately increases mood, right? That's the very least short-term benefit of it.
Yeah.
But over time, it's one of the most effective, you know, medicines for mental health that there is at a time when we need it most.
Well, and what they've been doing is threatening, and I don't know if they've carried through, but haven't they been threatening gym owners who defy the order with jail time?
Certainly with fines and potential jail time. I don't know that anybody's, you know, that's been handed out there yet, but certainly with fines. If there are complaints, then, you know, and the fines can be up, as I'm told, up to $10,000 a day.
Yeah, well, I know of at least 2 cases around the country where they have threatened jail time. I don't know if they've carried through. And the most ironic thing of all to me, Brett, is that there's nothing we can do better to fight off this disease than to be physically fit. And the one place that has been identified as a super spreader location are jails. And so what they're telling people is, if you own a gym, we'll threaten that we will shut you down and we'll threaten to put you in the most dangerous facility in America.
You know, it is interesting because I've gone through state level data from Oregon, Colorado, certainly our own data in our state, the new outbreak report that came out dated 11/23. You know, fitness centers aren't even mentioned in that outbreak report. There are zero outbreaks that have happened, been reported for fitness in the state of Washington or the state of Oregon. The Colorado data is so compelling because it's very detailed. You know, the date, the number of cases, the name of the business, the type of business it is. And so we got the Oregon Consulting Group from University of Oregon School of Business, and they've actually just come out with their preliminary findings on that Oregon data, pulling actual source data on gym visits from 3 main companies that provide check-in data in the state of Colorado and COVID cases and deaths in the state of Colorado. Now, I've got their preliminary findings. We can't release them yet because they just came out Friday and they're going to be publishing these. But of the 58 ranked outbreaks, fitness is not on. It doesn't even exist on there.
Right.
You know, so the question has to be like, why isn't it happening? Why is there a hypothesis wrong? Now, those of us in fitness know why it's wrong. But, you know, they still continue to say this is a high-risk category, and it's obviously not a high-risk category.
No, and when you're destroying people's businesses, their livelihood, broad swaths of our economy, you should at least have a reason for why you're doing it. But here's what we're saying. You see the number of kid suicides every year. There's a huge spike in 2020. We are killing children by keeping them at home. There's no question about that. We're killing children by keeping them at home from suicide and overdoses. And yet anybody who says we should get kids back in school, people scream, you don't care about the kids. No, I specifically care about the kids. I feel the same way about the gyms. I have about 15 seconds. Why do you think this is happening? Why do you think their motive is in this?
I think a lot of it's optics, right? I mean, if people are out doing the things they like to do, then it doesn't send a strong enough message. That I am trying to triangulate to what the strategy is, because I don't understand what data they'd be looking at to suggest that. And so I'm just trying to understand so that as a club owner and as the Washington Fitness Alliance, that we can help people predict, like, when can you open? I'm in Central Washington. My clubs were closed for 6 months in Central Washington. Now it'll be 7 months and probably 8 months. So if you're going to close my clubs, come by my clubs. But don't just close me.
I understand. All right, Blair McCaney with the Washington Fitness Alliance. Blair, keep up the good fight and keep me posted, okay?
I will, Dory. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. All right. Love to hear what you think about all this. You can text me at 98973. It's just criminal what our government is doing so capriciously. Our data daddy has no data to back it up. Text me at 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. I know that we're desperate for good news these days, but man, some of the stories that I've seen dressed up as good news just are kind of annoying. On Saturday, a woman played in a Power Five, the five biggest conferences in the NCAA. You know, the SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten, all those, Big 12. The Power Five conferences, a woman had never played in a game. And one did on Saturday. Her name's Sarah Fuller. And I have to tell you, as somebody who has coached girls and young women for a huge chunk of my life, and some of my favorite life memories are from my coaching experiences and the relationships you make and all of that stuff. But there are some realities. Men are men and women are women. And in any endeavor where there's objective measuring, track and field events, whether it's sprints or longer distance runs, throwing events, jumping events, the best men in the world are, you know, 10 to 15% faster, stronger, higher, farther than the best women in the world. And that's because we have physiological differences, of course. And so on Saturday, a woman named Sarah Fuller, who's very bubbly person, she was asked to kick for Vanderbilt University. Now, Vanderbilt is winless this season, and they said that COVID ran through all of their kickers. So Sarah Fuller, she was a goalie on the women's soccer team there, and she didn't get any opportunities to kick through the goalposts because the team didn't score any touchdowns, and they never got in field goal range, but she did kick off to start the second half. And it wasn't much of a kick. I mean, I think my fake right knee, I think I could kick the ball 20 yards, which is how far this traveled in the air. But it's being celebrated, and I don't, especially as the father of three daughters, I don't like tokenism for girls and women. And I I don't know why, but man, NBC's Today Show, Good Morning America, they've been all over.
Sarah Fuller is about to put her right foot into a football, speaking volumes to women around the world.
In the stat books, it was a 30-yard kick. In the record books, it was history.
What a day in college football.
21-year-old Vanderbilt senior Sarah Fuller is now the first woman in college football history to play in one of the Power Five conferences.
What emotions are you feeling now that you've reached such a milestone?
Honestly, it's just so exciting.
Fuller is the 6'2" goalie for Vanderbilt's women's soccer team. Helped lead her team to this year's SEC championship. She was recruited to the football team in a pinch after COVID-19 forced the kicking squad to quarantine.
It was crazy.
Okay, but here's the thing. Every man on that roster could have kicked a football farther than she did. And they're hailing this as a great achievement. But it's this continuation. You know, we're told that, gender is fluid and... You know, what your assigned gender is at birth doesn't matter. But then we hype up phony stories. It's very odd to me. It's all very odd. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then the fastest 15 is coming up next here on the Doran Fox Show.